Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Cindy DeFerdinand, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another exciting show, Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with Cindy DeFerdinand.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome back.
Welcome. Oh, thanks. And welcome to the show on this nice Tuesday, Southern California, right? We're getting summer.
Yeah.
Summer's upon us.
It is. It's nice and hot down there. It's like Texas heat, and I'll be there the next 3 days doing some coaching things. So that'll be
nice. You get some nice weather.
You get some nice weather, yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah, indeed. It's been beautiful. Yes. So Bruce and I have talked a little bit for our audience before the show, and we wanted to talk a little bit about, well, we'll divert because we tend to do that, but a little bit about the passion of the coaching profession and new coaches to the profession. It's kind of a contagious thing watching new coaches get started and trained, and the experience that they go through in terms of epiphany of finding. I think sometimes I've heard it said, you know, people find it's like finding your tribe and really loving the profession of coaching and the people they meet, their comrades, fellow coaches, as well as getting out there and starting to really use their coaching skills and training to help people in a completely different way, a completely different way of looking at help. So that's what we'd like to share with you today, or, you know, sort of our perspective on that. So I guess, you know, we can just question each other, Bruce, and get at it. And then what we're going to be doing is trying to, over the next few weeks, just line up some of those people that are at the early stages of the coaching profession and really turned on passionately by getting out there and becoming coaches and helping people.
Yeah, I was struck, maybe you can talk a little bit about your Washington, D.C. experience. Sound like you were there recently and had a chance.
Oh, yeah. I met some really really incredible people. In fact, I think I might reach out to a couple of them. And just in training people, certifying people to be coaches, I have just the luxury of meeting some of the most incredible people from all walks of life that are really called to serve in different ways, in different what we call niches, from a marketing perspective, you know, picking that niche, that audience that you're targeting. That's one of the things about coaching that makes it very non-competitive is you're a coach, I'm a coach, you know, the people, you know, this person, that person may be coaching, but they may be coaching a completely different audience with a completely different need or problem to solve. And so it's very versatile, very non-competitive, and it's very vast in terms of the people that can be served by the coaching profession. And also, you know, meeting new people all the time, you know, you find people that they maybe they're recommended. I mean, sometimes it's interesting to me, and maybe to you, Bruce, too, is how people end up in the profession of coaching. You know, why them? How did they find it? And one of the things I hear, and I don't know about what you hear, but what I hear is a lot of times it starts with somebody in their life they respect. Maybe it's a mentor. Maybe it's somebody in their professional life, personal life. Maybe it's a therapist, a coach they know, who says, you would make an incredible coach. And just because they have certain qualities that would resonate well with the skill set of coaching. And I think some people, when they hear it, you know, they file it away, but some people get really curious about it. And coaching is one of those modalities where curiosity really plays well for you. And they get curious enough to investigate it and research it and maybe sign up for training. And then they come, and maybe they fall in love with it, maybe they don't. But the ones that do are filled with really unbelievable passion, like they found it. Do you know what I mean? You know that feeling? Or that, you know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Because you meet so many coaches too, and you've, you know, had some guests on the show, you know, just some really interesting people. And I think that passion is in this field is very contagious. I mean, it's something that is very noticeable to me in people that are starting out to coach or who have been doing it for a long time. The passion is really there.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I think it's just different for different people. You know, what got them there. I remember
the story, their story,
yeah,
right?
Their story and you know, why they're there and what they think they're going to do. And it's just amazing because it is a living, breathing, kind of changing, at least for me, my experience and thus far has just been very, you know, it's just been very changing. So you think when you're in the coaching training, you have an idea of what you're building that idea. Some folks are actually building their vision, right? They're building their elevator speech. They're building their vision and their mission and they're building those initial skills to, you know, start their coaching practice, right? With the, you know, what is their website going to be? Are they going to do Facebook or Twitter or website? And what are their service lines that they're going to offer?
How are they going to get their messaging out there, right?
How they're going to get the message out there? What their price points are, and
who they're going to serve, right?
Who they're going to serve, and so, so that's real interesting. You know, I want to shout out to the internet here. I got a call from somebody who said, "Hey, do you mind if I buy a coaching package for my son? And I'm in state X, and my son is there in Dallas, Fort Worth, and I'd love for you to prepay some coaching sessions." And I'm like, "Sure." I said, "How did you find out about me?" And they said, "Oh, you know, we typed in, you know, executive coach, life coach, Dallas, and you came up." You know, I'm like, "Wow, okay." You know, and so again, this is a client I would have never had in a million years had I not had the internet presence. And last week on the show, Cindy, I kind of went into grave detail, or at least I think I did, about, you know, setting up the websites and cross-linking things with how we do it with the radio station and iTunes and Google Play and our Facebook page and Twitter page and Wisdom Foods and, you know, how all these things kind of connect and link together. And
like tentacles, mm-hmm, touch points, mm-hmm.
And you get your brand out there, you get your coaching out there to people that would want your services. The thing that I have noticed, Cindy, this is kind of a derail, it's our first derail here, is...
It's all right, derail, right?
So listen to this, I mean, you can, you know, take this into the classroom, but I have seen a bazillion people do what's called pay-per-click ads on Google that are life coaches. I mean, it seems like these people are paying a ton of money. You know, life coach is a high value, you know, search term on Google, and these people are paying left and right. I mean, I go 5, 6, 7 pages into a life coach or executive coach search, and you'll just see, I'll see more people advertising as links than I will see almost regular links. So anyway, it just shows that this profession is growing, and it shows that a lot of people are also spending a lot of money trying to get their practice, their coaching practice out there. And again, I'm on a budget. I know you are too. We don't necessarily do that. You've been around quite a while, and I've been around long enough with the other thing to kind of keep going. But anyway, I decided.
Yeah, and I think it depends. You know, like a lot of people take in coaching, just like they target different groups that have special needs or problems for them to support. And you know, sometimes I think there, even though coaching is not therapy and counseling and mentoring and advising, it's much different than that. It's a skill set where we ask powerful questions, which get the client to drill down deep to find their own answers for what they want, why they want it, where they want to go, kind of a thing. But I do think that times are changing in terms of, you know, like if you look at building a private practice, which is one way for definitely a big way for coaches to go, a big direction. But a lot of coaches want to do more training and speaking and writing books and leveraging and leadership, you know, motivational type of work. And so their work may take them in a completely different direction. But, you know, if we just stick with even just the private practice model of the coaches getting out and doing one-on-one, you know, doing one-on-one or maybe even group, that there's lots of things are changing in the way business is conducted in terms of, like you were saying, making sure you got your listings out there so people can find you, and you got the website, and you know you're on some sort of social media. But it is completely different than how, and you may be able to offer us up some information too, because like I've had a private practice for a lot of years. You had private practice in counseling before you went into coaching. And wouldn't you say, even if you took the coaching piece out, how business is conducted, you know, now versus 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, is completely different in a lot of ways, you know, versus the brick and mortar model where, you know, people set appointments, they come do face to face. It's changing a lot. You know, see it changing.
Absolutely. We have telehealth and things, you know, you'll be able to access a coach through an app on your phone and do Skype-like or do some kind of proprietary, you know, coaching session through the, through some sort of a coaching app on your phone or tablet. Mm-hmm. And I definitely see that as coming to have stuff kind of virtual or on demand. And I think that's really, really great and forward thinking, and kind of be ready for that. So,
It's changing quickly, the landscape, and which obviously brings more vehicles of opportunity to promote and get your coaching to people that need it, versus just, you know, call me, book an appointment, show up in my office kind of modality. You know, that's the way it was typically done, right? Now coaching, because it's not regulated, I mean, there's, you know, a code of ethics that we adhere to if we follow the International Coaching Federation guidelines, ICF. But it's certainly not regulated to the degree that, like, you know, a social worker or a therapist in the state you work in would be. It opens up a lot more avenues of reaching your clients, which I think is great for coaches. You know, that, I mean, that's why, I mean, it's such a fast-growing profession. And I think that there's a lot of opportunities with the changes in the way business is done, and where business is done more remotely, right? I mean, we're seeing that all the time. You know, I see it in my own practice where I do more phone than in person. You know, unless somebody's very local, half an hour is not local anymore. That used to be, right?
Right.
I mean, people used to be willing to drive an hour, half hour to an appointment, right? I always was. And now it's the traffic is gotten, you know, to be heavier, and at least where I live, and I know I travel a lot, and I know you do too, Bruce, and don't you see heavy traffic everywhere you go?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's becoming a bigger and bigger issue. And so people have to really, you know, time is very valuable in so many ways. And if somebody is taking a break to their day to book an appointment, a coaching session, they really do have to calculate that coming and going time and the hour, or, you know, whatever time frame, usually typically it's an hour that they're working. And that hour could turn into three. Right, which could be a pretty big disruption or break in somebody's day if, you know, if they're working or they have other commitments. So I'm pretty conscientious of that now, that flexibility I allow, give to my clients. And I'm also aware of the demand on them to be on time to get somewhere. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the bigger changes that I've seen, not to mention social media and, you know, all of that, that's really impacted how people can get their name out there and let people know they're there to be of service. And, you know, as a coach, you know, we're talking about coaches that are new to the profession that get totally lit up by finding their tribe and finding the thing, you know, that really is going to help them serve in a new, unique way, they get terribly, I mean, excited would be like, an, you know, it's not even telling you. I mean, I watch and you watch and we hear people's lives absolutely transformed from coaching, and how exciting that can be for a new coach to get out and help people in this way, get the skills, look, and, you know, and the coaches that are serious about it are serious about it, you know, and they get the training and the additional training to deepen their skills. I love that. I love that passion and that fire I see in people.
Yeah, I think that, you know, oftentimes these other constructs, if, you know, careers, even going from a counseling practice to coaching, you know, there's more freedom. You know, there's a lot more freedom in the coaching profession. Mm-hmm. And so I think it gives people freedom. That's one of the big things that I've noticed, is that people are more free to be themselves and more free to, you know,
as a coach or as a client, are you talking
as a coach, as a coach,
as a coach, as a coach. Okay.
Yeah.
You get to show up and be more authentically you. Is that what you're
saying?
Yeah.
I mean, I went to an event, with a company that hires me as a coach, and I went there and I went to the event, and there was a dinner before the event. And gosh, you know, there's like, hey, this, you know, this is Bruce, and he's one of the company's coaches, and all this and that, and I was really shocked. I didn't, you know, expect to get that kind of reception. You know, I was pleasantly surprised.
That's awesome.
I was, I flew down to Houston, and again, kind of had a focus mission there, but there was a broad-based dinner attached on one of the nights with a lot of the other executives. And, you know, of course I'm the guy in the room that, you know, he looks like he belongs here, but who the hell is he? And so, you know, the kind of one of the, you know, big executives said, hey, this is Brucey's company coach, and glad to have him. And it's kind of funny because they kind of responded to me like they would have almost a psychologist, because they were trying to, everybody was watching how much alcohol they were drinking and not telling
being a little more conscientious around you.
I'm just here, you know. So it's kind of funny. No, but it was kind of on their behavior. But anyway, so that's something you'd never do in a counseling practice or a psychotherapy practice, is you know, because the ethics guidelines prohibit you from doing something like that, right? Whereas
exactly
coaching and executive coaching, no. If the company wants you to be at the golf tournament, you're at the golf tournament. You know, and I've said that, and it's kind of weird. I mean, I even read it in several sources, but
yeah, because you're just wanting to make sure that it's okay. You know, is it legal? Is it? Yeah, but, I mean, there are you know, ethics, like we were talking about. There's ethics related to the industry, but it's not regulated to the degree that therapy would be in a private practice setting, kind of a thing. So it definitely opens you up to new avenues, right?
Well, that and I just noticed, you know, and then the conversations flowed like, wow, you know, I think I might have to hire you. I have a difficult employee situation over here. Hi, I think I might need to hire you for my region because, you know, we have some growth people that need this and that, you know, to, you know, stimulate their growth. I'm like, okay, hi, I think we might need you. We have an onboarded new leader who really needs to take on an ownership mindset, you know, on and on and on, you know what I mean? It's like, wow.
Yeah. There's so many. Well, and the whole coaching paradigm of being totally present for an hour for a period of months is such a great tool for people to have, that, you know, they look forward to that hour with somebody to bounce things off, to run through mm-hmm. the goals they're working on, the action steps they're taking, the changes they're trying to make, even the breakthrough, you know, realizations and aha moments that, you know, maybe they wouldn't have connected those dots, you know, like if they hadn't been working with somebody to help them, you know, sort of see the things or ask the questions that help them see the things maybe they haven't noticed before, you know. So it is a powerful tool, the whole coaching modality of just sort of being present with somebody and asking questions and letting them take their course, you know, them going where they need to go. Once you have the skill set, and, you know, obviously a lot of people go into different fields, right? Different ways of serving. But I don't know, Bruce, I'm pretty sure you feel the same way I do, because we've had lots of conversations. Once you have this skill set, you could, any client that's sitting in front of you, you could be of support to.
Absolutely.
For whatever reason. I mean, that's one of the things I'm pretty clear on. I know we all tend to gravitate towards certain, you know, I'm business, your business. I'm, you know, I also am a nutritionist. So, you know, that's a very big part of what I do. I incorporate that in to coaching, even if I'm doing business coaching. So, but regardless of where we tend to go, sometimes new doors open up, which I think is one of the surprising things that excites new coaches as well, is, wow, this isn't just a one-way highway here. You know, once I learn how to be a coach, once I really get better and better and better at it, hone those skills, get it, have those aha moments, really start applying the skills, whoever is sitting in front of me, I can help. I don't have to know their business. I don't have to understand the hierarchy. I don't have to understand the family dynamics. Just the coaching process will give me enough information to coach somebody through whatever they need to go through, whatever answers they need to find. I love that part about it. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so too. And I have found out, you know, and time after time after time, even in this corporate world that I'm now in, that me being an outsider really is awesome. You know, it really adds clarity. It really adds to the dynamic of the relationship, you know, the fact that
you're not on the team.
I'm not on the payroll of the mother.
No, I get it.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I can speak a little bit freelier and more freely, freelier.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
freely. Freelier.
Yeah. What word of the neologism there,
it.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's an urban dictionary. So yeah, so I can speak freely and be more candid and those things. And that relationship just, you know, there isn't that block, there isn't that, quote, load, you know, to my presence. It really is a neutral load.
Don't you find that they actually look forward to the sessions? I mean, like, they bring their stuff. What's bubbling up? What are they working on? What, you know, like, they have time to process between sessions. Maybe they had a big breakthrough in a session that you just had. You know, the next week they've processed, they've thought of it, they have new insight, they bring it to share. They actually start looking forward to, oh my gosh, that's my special time, you know, my special hour. Do you find that they communicate that to you?
Yeah.
It's kind of cool. You feel like, you know, like they value you and that sacred time. I believe the coaching relationship is very unique, you know, coaching client relationship. And it's very rewarding to me, as I know to you and the coaches out there. I think that's why people get so excited when they find this pursuit and they realize they're the right fit. It's the right fit for them. You know what I mean? That they actually are going to be able to help people in this very unique way. And that coaching really moves very quickly because it's very forward focused, solution focused. People find some answers and direction really quickly, which is cool. You know, that they get that movement and they're making progress. That's a really good feeling, I think, for all human beings, don't you think?
Absolutely. I mean,
we all want to check it off the to-do list. We all want to feel like the work we're doing is moving us forward and we're getting somewhere and it's a more productive, purposeful place in business, in our personal lives. I mean, we all want that. So to me, that's what coaching gives, you know?
You know, yeah, the fix for many things, right? I think the fix for many things in life, whether it be depression, or even grief, and even
crisis.
is meaningful action. When the person is taking meaningful action, right, meaningful to them, they are taking and executing meaningful actions and behaviors.
I like that meaningful action.
Yeah,
that's a way to say it.
Really turns around the situation. I mean, you just go from sad to not sad, go from angry to not angry, bitter to not bitter, you know, isolating to being with others sometimes, and on and on and on. It really does undo whatever blockage. So it's,
yeah, the blockage. I mean, that meaningful action. No, who doesn't feel good getting things done and moving their life forward and solving their own problems? I mean, who doesn't feel empowered by that, right? I don't know too many people. And even like what I ask scaling questions sometimes, you know, on a scale, you know, people say, well, I'm just not getting to my work, or I'm feeling blocked, or I'm not feeling confident. Okay, well, where's your confidence right here, right now, on a scale of 1 to 10? Okay, what would it take to move it from a 4 or 5 to an 8 or 9? It's always invariably get this other thing done. Get this. I don't know. How do you feel about that? I think that meaningful action is a huge part of why people seek coaches out. They want that accountability factor.
Right. Right. Just a little bit of accountability. And that's why, you know, Weight Watchers or Curves or all these other, you know, other, you know, 12-step programs, another program, you know, have some sort of accountability piece to them. And that's also very effective. And accountability isn't a bad word. You know what I mean? It's just, you know, talking about what did they do in the last week, and where are we going from here? And
yeah, what were they able to get to?
Right. There's no judgment, or, you know, we're not keeping score as coaches.
Nope.
We're not rating.
It's no, like, hey, it's their journey. It's their journey.
Right. And they can take whatever path they want to take, you know? So I think that, you know, us being there and again, we're holding them accountable to their own goals. And so it's not our goals. It's about them and what they
right.
want to do.
And, well, of course, we want them to get there. You know, we want what's best for our clients, but we don't get to determine what's best. I mean, it's not even anything to do with coaching us determining what's best for the client. It's really them. Right. You know, we're just present with them. And that's exciting. You know, if you are an advisor, a consultant, you know, I've been a consultant for years. I mean, you did, you know, consulting. It's quite refreshing to not have to have the answers for somebody, but to respect that they have their own answers and you're facilitating that journey to their answers. To me, that's very exciting. I mean, I love that part of it. There's so many things about coaching that are really remarkable. Like you said, the freedom that it gives the coaches, you know, just, I was thinking when you said that, I was thinking more wiggle room, like to be authentically who you are, to show up and be just who you are, not have to, you know, have rules and regulations, sort of driving that, you know, in terms of licensing, you know, that freedom is a nice feeling to be more authentically yourself.
It is, you know, but But to be honest, in the corporate sphere, you know, there is that elephant in the room called, hey, you know, keep your job. you know, there is that kind of performance metric, you know, sometimes on these corporate cases, right? That's why they're needing coaching, because they're either
right.
stuck in
the
one
clients
or
have
other.
To hold too, right?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, does that put pressure? I mean, I don't know that you feel the pressure necessarily on us as coaches,
but
more the client may feel it.
Yeah, there is this kind of, you know, what you're saying, Sandy, is great. You know, hey, you know, we'll do this on the corporate coaching side of the house. And when the corporation's paying for it, they're wanting to see an outcome, and usually that outcome is, you know, no more disruption or growth
productivity
and sales, you know, productivity,
right. Profit,
and
yeah.
whatnot. So
profits go up, right?
So that is kind of an interesting thing, you know,
yeah,
with that. Now the kind of an interesting thing that has been, I don't want to say consuming me, but I think when folks are setting long-term goals, you know, I'm really kind of hesitating on setting long-term goals, and I'm even gonna say that even personally, you know, in terms of, I mean, there's things that I might like to have long term. I might want to, you know, I can make some global statements about some of the long-term stuff, And I'm not saying long-term goals are bad, but it just seems to me that so many different doors and avenues and side things can, and many of them good, can happen to somebody if they're just, okay, what are we going to do?
Paying attention?
Next? Yeah, right, their awareness is up. So you know, what are we going to do next? Well, what do you think your options are? Okay, what would be the next thing? And that has a vector, it has direction mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. magnitude. It's going somewhere, right? But you don't really yep. know, like, I don't really know where it's going.
No, I totally understand. I just had a client call this morning and we broached on that. In the big picture, if you day to day trust yourself to make good decisions, to vet out opportunities, to do the gut check, to mm-hmm. pro and con list it. You know, I have different tools I recommend. If you move along the path and of purpose that you're on, and you do those things along the way, at some point, you know, it should get easy and opportunities come, and you vet them out, and you trust that you're making good decisions, and it's going to move you to the next thing. That will be big, you know, a bigger, better platform for you someday. But I think I understand what you're saying. If I hear you right, it's not so much the long-term goals. It's not that you think long-term goal setting isn't purposeful or even helpful. It's that you feel like those, the day-to-day, the short-term goals, the making decisions, being open for opportunity, then making another decision, the twists and turns of a path forward professionally. I know you're talking professionally. Am I getting that right? Is that what you mean?
Yeah. There's, and those twists and turns have other have other avenues that can, other opportunities.
Yeah.
That can be very fulfilling. And these are opportunities that you never even
knew were coming
when you're there.
Yeah.
You know, case in point, I'll use myself as an example. So there I am, right, in class, I'm learning, I get the CPC, I'm a life coach, and I have all these great fundamentals and building blocks and techniques
skills.
And skills, and it's great, and we're going to package it, and we're going to do this. And then, you know, man, and even in that, oh gosh, what is it now, year and a half. Well, it feels like a year and a half since I became quote official. I think if that doesn't sound very good. How is it? Did you ever have a radio show? Anyway, but seriously.
Well, you know, it's because a lot of people do coaching for years before they actually get certified. You know what I mean? Right.
But folks, just listen.
That's the reality out there. There are people
follow me
who.
Here.
Yeah.
Of course, the expertise was always there, of course. But what I'm saying is in that time, being very engaged and being very somewhat, I don't know, I'll say it, very vigilant on what I'm doing, how I'm doing it, what's next, who's next, what meeting. And you know, for the big fans of the show, you know, hey, I was in Miami, I did this. Hey, I was over here, I did that. I went to California, did this. I went back to, you know, on my travels where I'm engaging with different type of coaching things. Another little side door, just another seed gets planted, you know, and so it was kind of funny. I was at an event and I was talking to a vendor of the company that I do a lot of work for. And the vendor's like, really, we could use some coaches. And then my company people are like, you can't use him. You know, he's ours.
Right. Proprietary.
So it was kind of cute. You know, oh, you know, like, you know, don't mess with my, you know, my,
right. Because they want you all in themselves because they need you.
I thought that was nice. So, but boy,
don't steer them away.
That would happen. Yeah. You would, man, we have never thought that I'd be in a place that would really happen. You know what I mean? That type of thing happening, you know, would have been something that I would have thought would be like years, right? You know, it's going to take me years to get to the point where I'm actually doing something like that. Well, that's just not the case.
It can happen years. Quickly.
But it's not
just, you know, like I think, cause you know, and knowing you and your experience base, I mean, and I know you probably discuss this with clients. It's not just what we've done in the last 6 months to a year, year and a half. It's really the cumulative effect of all of our education, expertise, training, jobs in the field. It's the whole package.
Right.
which has brought you to the point where adding in the coaching skill set, and now you have new opportunities and people saying, no, he's mine. You know what I mean? Because it's all those years. It's not, right. You know, that's how I look at it. It's like you build upon it over a lifetime of professional work, training, education. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. However, right. And I get it, right. Because who I am is my brand. I mean, who you are is your brand. I just, you know, even as much as time we spend together, I mean, I just love hearing your voice. You have such a great voice.
Oh, thank you.
Really smooth in person too, folks. So don't, you know, anyway,
I don't know. Just, I don't know what my voice sounds like because I don't listen to it.
Anyway, look, but this world, anyway, back to the show. This world moves so fast.
It does.
I mean? It moves
and faster
so
all
fast.
The time.
You know, and I get my share of heat, man. I mean, people make fun of me. I can't believe you're doing this and that. And some of these media mentions, I was on FoxNews.com here and Entrepreneur Magazine, a couple other things, and Dow Jones interviewed me. So some things are kind of happening with that. But look, I dipped my toe into the river, and you know what? It will take you up or downstream. You know what I mean?
That's right.
You let it and.
But you're willing to take it. It's like, you know, if you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen. You know, you got to be willing to jump off the cliffs and try new things and put yourself out there in different ways, which you are definitely willing to do in a big way and see where it leads. And that sort of is that trust. I've done the work. I've got the experience. I've got the training. I've got the education. I've got the work history behind me. And now I'm going to take some risks. And, you know, and by the way, you know, Bruce, you've done a good job putting yourself out there, but for new coaches, sometimes, you know, I work with them and that's scary for people.
Right.
It's a space of vulnerability to kind of put themselves out there. If they're more private, I guess is a way to say it, lead maybe more private lives.
Obscure coaches aren't successful coaches because nobody finds them.
Right.
Right. And subsequently, they're not coaching. So, right. That's kind of a paradox. Like, oh, yeah, I'm the
it is a
coach.
Paradox.
And you're going to be a lonely one because how are you going to get your clients? So anyway, but all that.
It's a road you have to cross. Right. A bridge you have to cross at some point is how, and especially when you have such passion for the profession, new coaches are lit up with that excitement. A lot of them struggle with that, but they have to cross that bridge at some point because they're not, like you're saying, they're going to be lonely coach. Nobody's going to find them. And all of that good training, and there's some incredible people in this field that may not be out there reaching the people because that's quite frankly a big job to do all the things it takes to put yourself out there and time. You know, everybody has different time restraints. Some people start out coaching part time. I know I have clients that some of them have a private practice or do things on the side of a corporate job or a profession or business they own. So some people are not just saturated into this on a full-time basis. So they may struggle with time limitations, you know, but I agree with you that you have to cross the bridge. You have to be willing to put your big toe in the water. I think you said,
yeah. Or, you know, schedule that meeting. I've dragged new coaches to, you know, to garden clubs and country clubs for meetings and other, you know, building association meetings, you know, to help, you know, jumpstart, but to add to their coaching practice. And then, you know, it's a fearful prospect at first, but right. That's how you get out there. And that's one of the ways that you build a book of business and you got exposure. So social media is one way, but also there's nothing wrong with the good old fashioned lunch and learn.
Networking.
Networking meeting and all the good, all that old school gumshoe, you know, I'm going to join this association or the Rotary Club or the such and such Chamber of Commerce as a coach. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
You know, nothing. You know, more exposure, the better. And you know what? You can attract people that will come to an office or you can go and see them live. And that's still, that ball is still at play. Everything is not virtual. This is still can be a personal service business.
It is a personal service business. It's a conversation. You know what I mean? It starts with a conversation.
Absolutely.
That personal touch, that personal touch. So, thank you. I appreciate that, Bruce. You always have some good. No, I do. I think you have great feedback. No, tips for people who are listening. There may be, you know, those new coaches out there going, wow, that one thing that you said is the one thing they're going to be willing to do that is going to shift their direction and their success rate. I mean, everybody wants to check things off the to-do list and wants to be successful and purposeful. And as new coaches, you know, we don't know what that one extra or effort or two, which is going to make the huge difference, right? You know, so it's valuable. All of that is valuable. I guess I was, I'm still thinking about what we talked about earlier is, what do you think it is about this profession of coaching that gets people so turned on, so on fire to go out and do it?
Yeah, I'll answer the question, what I think it is. And then for me, and I think for others that I've seen, you know, if I was looking around the room that day and talking to the new coaches, is that there's a part of my soul and my being that gets fired up. It gets energized. That part of me that was either not allowed to operate because of a social constraint or a professional constraint or the boss or whatever, or I didn't have the time, whatever the excuse was, man, this part of me now is awake. I get to be, dude, these media things, you know, go to my Twitter at Cameron Coaches, and folks, go to our Facebook page at Concierge Coaches Show. And I do a dutiful job of posting all these media mentions that I've got, you know, but just because, look, I wouldn't think it was real unless it was happening to me. So I'm sharing that with everybody else. And you guys, this is live theater, how this thing kind of builds up. So, you know, I would have never, you know, sometimes if I use a sense of humor, the media likes that. Well, they like it when you think outside the box, or I kind of crack a joke or say something a little bit, you know, I thought,
which
wow.
is totally you, you which yeah. is what I totally hear you me. Saying is you get to be you and you're successful at being you. Like there's something like, what is it that it lights up? Is it the lack of the bars and the lack of the restraints and the lack of the boss, the lack of the, what is, I mean, if you could put your finger on that part of you that it lights up. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for me, I mean, my story isn't a sordid tale, but I was in the Justice Department for nearly a quarter of a century. So that is a buttoned up law enforcement company, man, agency.
Rules and regulations.
I'm not wearing a damn clown suit and, you know, honking horns at work or whatever. It's like I'm some sort of mascot. But, you know, I think relative to that baseline, you know, this is very, you know, a lot more freedom and emancipation, and even, you know, having a counseling and psychotherapy practice, you know, you still are fairly buttoned up, man. You know, I mean, you're pretty buttoned up, working with people in a counseling and psychotherapy practice. It's good. You're with people and you're reaching out and you're helping people. And it's great. And these are great techniques as well. Don't get me wrong. I mean, has been my bread and butter, but this innervates an area of who I am as a person that has not been innervated in anywhere else. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Not as a parent. I'll say that even as a parent, you're still a parent. You know what I'm saying? You're coaching. But it's your kid. Let's face it.
Right.
There's some objectivity that flies out the window, right? As much as we try to be good parents. Even as a husband, even as, you know, anything. So this really gets to awaken a part of my being that was either slumbering or dormant or whatever. Yeah,
that's nice. It's very nice to hear. You know, I think for me that, you know, I think this draws people who want to help, and I love helping. You know, I love people. I love helping people. But there's something about coaching that is so uniquely different than anything I've ever experienced in terms of how that works, in terms of how the coaching, you know, client coaching relationship gets people to set goals, move forward, have aha moments, break through things in their life, learn more self-love, more self-acceptance, more trusting of them. Just all the stuff that it adds in such a quick way, in such a simplistic way for people, and seeing that happen. And for me, it's an experience, because when it's happening for my client, I'm feeling it too. I mean, we're in it together, and it's such a, I don't know, it's a very wonderful feeling to be able to support somebody in that way and have them feel it and make changes because of it and improve and better their lives, or just their own self-confidence about improving and moving their life forward. To me, that's so richly rewarding. Yeah. And I do get what you were saying. I think that's what lights me up. Learning something new, learning a better way, learning a simpler way of reaching out and helping people. But I do get, and I hear when you talk about it lights something up inside of you that was dormant, because you, I believe, which you're saying too, we get to so show up authentically as we are. I spent 30 years in the corporate world. I mean, in different business, sales and marketing, business development, you know, the pioneer would come in and grow this and build this and new division, new product line. And, you know, even though I was that sort of renegade pioneer and had my own style and personality of how I did it, I still had to fall within the restraints of what was acceptable and unacceptable and deal with the rest of the team who didn't always like the changes I was implementing and presenting. And I still had to deal with, you know, I had to cross the T's and dot the I's, you know. Now, maybe some people thought I was getting away with stuff in the roles I played, as the, you know, hopefully being more of a change agent, if you will. But I still was in the corporate world. You still had somebody had to report to. You still had to, you know what I mean? All of that stuff.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, having any business of your own comes with responsibility, but it certainly comes with freedom and flexibility. And when I hear you talk, I feel like you're pointing to a little bit of, I get to authentically be myself and have more freedom and flexibility to express that.
That's
now, part of me that was dormant was because I couldn't really get it out because it wasn't acceptable in that professional field. Right.
Right. Right. No. Yeah. No harm, no foul. But it is nice to be authentic, more, at least more authentic, I guess.
I think so.
And therefore just the interactions are better, cleaner. More sincere, more,
because they know where you're coming from. You're just meeting them as you know who you are, with all your experience, all your credentials, all your education, work experience. You're meeting them, but you're meeting them right where you are. Here you are, as you are,
and here we are. And we're at the end of the show.
Here you are, as you are.
At the end, yes, and there we are, and that's there. It is, Dean. There's the bell, folks. Well, there it is. Another wonderful show here on LA Talk Radio, Concierge Coaches. So please come to our iTunes. Check us out on iTunes, Concierge Coaches Show. We have all the shows there on iTunes. We have them on the LA Talk Radio website. See us on social media on Facebook, Concierge Coaches Show. Bruce at the Cameron Coaches. And Cindy, what's your contact?
Phone number 714-943-6206. WisdomFoods.com is my website, and please reach out if I can be of service in any way.
All righty then. Well, we'll see y'all next week here on the Concierge.
Thanks, Bruce.
Show. All right. See y'all then. Take care.
Have a great week.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Cindy DeFerdinand, only on LA Talk Radio.